Lord, you are so good. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you get Matt Parsons out of the way this morning, and you'd bring in the Holy Spirit and Jesus in here today. And Lord, let the Holy Spirit minister to people this morning. Lord, may people, when it comes to decision-making time at altar call, Lord, may people make decisions, Lord, today for you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Awesome. This morning, we live in an age that is full of self-help books. Google, social media, I hate this word, AI, information sharing. We live in a society that is constantly has fixed on media. I will admit, I even Google every time that I am sick to try to avoid a doctor's visit. Don't shoot me. You know, everyone's always like, Tom Kraft's Googling everything. So's Matt Parsons. I Google just as much as he does. Why? This is the era that we live in. I don't want to sit in the doctor's office for 2 hours if I got a virus. And they're not going to give me medicine. How often do we Google the wrong answer? I will tell you, I've probably diagnosed myself wrong at least 50% of the time. But in our current age, most people don't even look at a newspaper anymore. Have you noticed that? When's the last time you yourself have looked at a newspaper? Humans now look at social media as their daily news. Okay? And it's funny. Someone told me the other day here at church, I'm not going to bust anybody out. I think it was Tiffany. I feel like she's out of state. We can say this. I feel like she said that she got her local news off of social media. It was the funniest thing ever, and I start laughing. If she's watching this today, I'm dead when she comes back in Mansfield. Yes, okay, yes. So pray for me with that. We are a society that we became our own gossip columnists. Do you remember we really used to have gossip columnists? We are now gossip columnists. Why? Because it's more relevant, it's quicker, and we know the individuals who are smearing their own lives throughout the internet. And I'm telling you, they're smearing their lives throughout the internet. So we wonder why we have issues as a society. We are now living in a so virtual that reality is almost a thing of the past for most people. I'm going to give you a challenge here. Go into any lobby, anywhere, and just sit for a moment and observe, all right? Most parents are disengaged. Have you ever noticed? What are they doing? They're on Facebook. They're on Instagram. They're not caring what their children are doing. I'm going to bring some reality to this. Then most children are on a video game. Sometimes those video games are promoting violence, crime, and sadly, some of them are promoting pornography, and you don't even know it. Everything for everyone has become a social issue or a disorder. We have made it a social issue or a disorder now, and we are fighting constantly. But man, we are in a virtual war. We are virtually fighting today. And why are we doing this for? It's an attack of Satan. This morning, my message is entitled, Resurrecting Myself. You know what? We have just hit the Easter season. Y'all love Easter? Because he lives, what can I do? Face tomorrow. I love that. We have just hit this Easter season, and many of us are going to be going out and purchasing new outfits for our kids. I do the same thing. We're going to buy tons of Easter candy. I buy my own. For me too. Some of you will go buy a stuffed rabbit for your child, and then 2 weeks later, you're like, man, they've already got 15. I'm going to have to give this one to Goodwill. So I understand we're all in this together, right? And then we forget all about the reason why he came and why he died and then why he resurrected. He's the Savior of the world this morning. He's the Savior of the world. Can you say that with me this morning? He's the Savior of the world. Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote this song in the 1960s, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds tomorrow. John 16:33. Turn there in your Bibles this morning. John 16:33. If I don't have the exact same version as you, don't worry about it. Just go with it. I'm pretty much at that point anymore. Just kind of go with it. It's pastor approved. All right. In the world, you will have what? Trouble, tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Say that with me this morning. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Friends, this morning, you have been worried about everybody else on Facebook, Instagram, and whatever else in the world that you are following. I'm going to simply make a statement to everybody here this morning, and don't shoot me, the messenger. You're missing the mark. You're simply missing the mark today. For us as Christians to resurrect ourselves spiritually, we must go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if I am worried about everybody else out there, their new designer clothes or their new fashion, and I'm getting depressed about and isolating myself, am I going into all the world now and preaching the gospel? When was the last time that you shared the good news of Jesus Christ with anybody? I mean, you really shared with someone about Jesus, and you just didn't blog about it, or you just didn't write a post about it. I love that the people share good news here on Facebook. You know, I don't have Facebook, but I see sometimes, you know, I log into my wife's phone sometimes and see it, and I love that when some of you guys put wonderful things out there. But can I tell you, if you are spewing out trash, stop. It don't look good on your witness. I'm going to be the first to put that out there. Get that negativity out of your life. If it's that bad that you got to spew it out there, put that in a private journal somewhere. Put that, that's like Mean Girls. You might maybe watch that movie, but they had a burn book. And they wrote everyone's name down. And then they threw it all over the whole place. I probably shouldn't watch that movie. I'm sorry. But can I be honest? We're like that in our society today. Pastor Dan preached this message, and it was terrible, and it messed up my life. I'm going to go tell everybody about it. Pastor Matt, right? Guys, that's not living. God didn't call us to act like that. He called us out of that. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Does he live today? He lives, so we need to act like he lives. I'm going to be honest with you. Sit down today and this afternoon, and I want you by yourself to sit down and write out your testimony. Write out your testimony. When I got saved. When was that moment when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Who led me to the Lord? Who were key contributors into my life of who led me to the Lord? Because I'm going to tell you, after I preach this message, someone's going to come up to you and ask you about a Savior. Someone's going to come up to you someday and say, hey, I need a Savior. And I want to be right there along with you when you lead them to the Lord. Do you know how exciting it is when someone leads somebody to the Lord? You know how much more exciting it is when a pastor sits with someone else and the person in the congregation can lead them to the Lord? And you're like, whoa, yay God. Yay God. I want you this afternoon to sit down and write out your testimony. You want to resurrect your life with Jesus Christ? Go back in your memory bank of when you first fell in love with him. Why did you fall in love with him for? Let's look at this. Acts 1:8 says this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, now, while resurrecting your walk with the Lord, are you telling other people about Jesus Christ? I need you to ask yourself this question. Where is my Jerusalem? Where is my Judea? Where is my Samaria? And where is my ends of the earth? Where are they today? Where is your mission point? Where is your mission point at? God gave you a mission, and where is your mission? Ask yourself this question. Have I been so wrapped up in myself? I had to ask myself this week. Have I been so wrapped up in Matt Parsons? Make it personal. Have I been so wrapped up in Matt Parsons that I have not been able to reach a world in need? Go home today and ask yourself this question. Put your name in there. Make it personal. Look in the mirror when you say it. Have I stood in the roadblock? Lord, get me out of the way so, Lord, you can help out and save someone's life, and I can just be used as a tool. I have found the best way to get out of a Christian slump is not by ordering another help book for dummies. I went to Barnes & Noble's a couple weeks ago, and I found so many self-help books for dummies. I'm like, oh, man, this is speaking my language. You know, I am not, they have these Thursday night work parties around here. I cannot do a single bit of that. I run a really good vacuum. I can dust really well. I can type. I can do all the other things. I appreciate these men who can do that. Can I be honest with you? I found the carpentry for dummies. It won't help me. I'm okay with that. But sometimes we need to go deeper. When God gets a hold of you, it's emotional, it's spiritual, and then it's physical. He does physical changes in your lives, y'all. When you accept Jesus Christ, or when someone accepts Jesus Christ, that outside person starts looking different. Old things that used to be wrapped up on your life start falling off your life. You say, how does that look different? Well, you know, you start getting rid of some of your addictions, some of your habits, some of your problems. You start coming to church. You start looking healthy. People always say, my family's big people, y'all. So I'll just say this. We used to have this. My grandpa would always say, ooh, you guys look healthy. And I do. I look healthy. Why is that for? It's a good lifestyle. Now, let me tell you, not eating everything how I probably have has been wonderful. But I will say this. Serving God is a lifestyle change. You need to have a lifestyle change when you come into the knowledge of an almighty God. Let's look at this. 1 Timothy 2:8. We're going to get into a little bit about prayer this morning. Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray. Okay, men, where are you at today? Men, where are you at? I see the women smiling. Where's your husband at this morning? Men, you need to be praying. Can I be real today? We struggle in that category. Now, I believe we could put women in this verse too. But men, you need to be praying. You need to be praying for the salvation of your household, your family, your church, your community. And it goes on to this. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger and disputing. Well, now that sounds like not most churches today. Without anger or disputing. That should speak to our lives today. I read this verse this week, and I was going through my message, and I went, ooh, Lord, ooh, that hurt me a little bit. Amen? Because you know what? We should be praying and praying not in anger. Lord, don't blast them off the face of the earth. Do you know, we get mad about people and we want to say the first thing is, okay, we get out our spiritual warfare gun. All right, boom, take them out. Now take them. That's not how we pray. No, Lord, bless them. Lord, if it's me, fix me. And Lord, if I'm doing something that's wrong, show me so I can correct the issue. Take some accountability. Amen? Sometimes we as Christians have to take accountability. We might be the problem that is being the stumbling block between somebody else coming to know Jesus Christ. You want to resurrect yourself and your home and your community, start with you. Don't go on to anybody else until he fix you first. Start with you. This is a big thing today. We have to look at us. Lord, get out that big spiritual mirror today and say, Lord, where do I fit in this spiritual mirror with you? And Lord, where should I be? I'm going to tell you one thing that we shouldn't be is angry all the time and disputing all the time. And if we are, Lord, humble us. Humble us that we fix who we are. Acts 1:14 says this. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Now get this. Along with the women. Say yay, women. Yay. Yay. Yeah, that sounded real happy. It means you two prayed. They prayed. They prayed. They all prayed. It's not a gender thing here, so I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter who you are. You have access to the Father through Jesus Christ through prayer in your life. If you want to see things change, it starts with you. You want to take back your home? Start with you in prayer. They all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This verse shows a picture of the first church as they came together and they were in constant prayer. Then let me ask you a question this morning, and I need you all to be very real with Matt Parsons. Write these down if you take notes. Am I in constant prayer, number one? And am I in constant prayer? Am I in constant prayer? Number two, am I in constant prayer for my family? Am I in constant prayer for my family? Number three, am I in constant prayer for my small group? You see how I just added that in there. More to come on that one. Am I in constant prayer for my small group? Number four, am I in constant prayer for my church? Now, if you've answered no to any of these questions, I'm going to say this. We need a vast change. We need a vast change. I can't make you change. I don't want to make you change. It starts with us collectively, but it's also an individual thing. For us to resurrect anything, our family, our jobs, our church, our community, it must first start with us in prayer. We must come back into communion with the Lord and in fellowship daily in prayer. Say daily. 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 This is a daily thing. This is not a weekly relationship with the Lord. This is not a bi-weekly relationship with the Lord. This is not a monthly or a quarterly or once a year relationship. This is a minute by minute, second by second relationship with the Lord. This is a everyday relationship with the Lord. When we are coming into communion with him and we are trying to walk as close as we possibly can with him, it's a minute by minute. It's a second-by-second relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm starting a campaign around the church this morning. I'm excited about this. Ooh, I'm excited. This is going to be fun. All right. This is going to be fun here. Now, starting leading up to Easter, I'm launching a prayer campaign. I know we got some prayer warriors in here, and I'm going to need some help. Does people want to see change in the church? Does people want to see more souls saved? Does people want to see unity in the church brought together? Great. I know you do. I see your hearts, and I know who you are. This church has such a loving heart for people. So I'd hope you'd band together on this. Write this down if you can. Every day leading up to Easter. No, we don't do Lent here. This is not Lent. This is a prayer campaign. Leading up to Easter, spend 30 minutes a day in prayer. Think we can do that? It's going to be hard. Laura made me relight this last night. I had an hour. She's like, Matt, that's really long for some people. Can I be honest with you? A half hour is not over long. But if you don't know how to pray, or maybe you just started your walk with the Lord, I need you to grab me or Dan after church. Greg Pugh, I'm going to get you too, and some of the deacons. And if you don't know, grab one of us, and we'll teach you how to pray. I love when I hear Tom Craft pray. I know exactly when Tom Craft starts his prayer, every prayer. I know when Greg Pugh starts his prayer, what he's going to pray. I don't know the words that are going to come after it, though, because it's sincere and it comes from their heart. I love when my wife prays. My wife prays. She's not a loud person like I am, but she goes into intercession for people. And I know when she calls out people's names in prayer, it's serious business. And so I'd like us to spend 30 minutes a day leading up to Easter in prayer. Now, for those who are married, all right, and those who maybe have a prayer partner in the church, I want you to take this one step farther. Pray with that individual 30 minutes a day. Man, I got to pray with my wife for 30 minutes a day. Yuck. It might mend your relationship. It might draw you closer together. And some, if that person may not know Jesus, maybe you might lead them to the Lord. Try to spend 30 minutes a day. You might get into a fight during prayer time. Use the rest of your prayer time to work it out. All right. You also need to keep a list of the lost people. I'm not saying all of your woes, all of the healings, all the sickness. That's another thing. Leading up to Easter, you need to keep, and we should be doing this every day anyways, keep a list of lost people. Keep a list of your lost. Everybody in everybody's family has lost people in your family. Everybody everywhere has lost neighbors. Everybody everywhere has lost coworkers. Well, I better not have lost coworkers. But everybody everywhere has people who are lost around them. Amen? We are to be reaching that world in need. To reach that world in need. Start keeping a list of lost people. And I need you to pray for your lost community, your lost neighbors, your lost country, and we need to pray a hedge around our world right now. Amen? Got one last thing on this prayer campaign. Oh, you're like looking at me like, Matt, he's going to go there. Oh, yeah. I'd love y'all to join a small group. Can my small group leaders all stand up this morning? Yep. Dan, you're a small group leader. Okay. We'll go right around the room. Tom Craft, you small group leader. Where are you having small group at tonight? All right. I was in theirs for a long time. They ate really well. I gained 50 pounds after I joined their small group. All right, sorry, that's not a good promotion for you. Okay, Greg, where are you all meeting today?
I'm not sure either yet.
Okay. Dan, you're meeting in Denny's classroom. I meet over here. I have 18 to whatever. We meet over here. We're going over a marriage right now. Where are you guys going over?
Gospel Reset.
Gospel Reset. Where are you guys going over? What was that?
All in one.
Were you guys going over? It was going to be a message, right? Okay, that works. Okay. That works. You're going to get something. Can I also tell you what you're going to get if you start out with just a couple weeks doing this? Fellowship of people. Can I tell you we all need somebody? When I came here, I was in a really bad condition 2 years ago. I was in a very bad condition. I had a condition that was called church hurt. I wore my feelings on my sleeve when I walked in this place. I thought I'd never, ever, ever come back into the ministry. And truthfully, I didn't want to. I warned my wife that morning to not tell anybody that I was ever in the ministry. And then people knew me. And then a year later, you all hired me as a pastor. God works in weird ways. But can I tell you one of the best things that ever happened to me when I started coming to this church? I joined small group. It healed some things in our marriage. It healed some things in our family. I was able to forgive some problems from years ago. It changed me. Amen. And I know if I am so passionate about that small group hour or two or three that I spend at theirs all the time. Mine's only an hour and 15 minutes. Theirs might be two or three. But I had such a great time. Can I be honest with you? It changed me as a person. I love that. I'm going to go to, we're going to talk about, change the slide up here, buddy. All right. Here we go. Prayer, care, share. You're wondering why I'm preaching all this stuff today. Why am I doing this for? I've attended two conferences in the last 2 months. One was with Dan, one was with Laura this week. I heard Dr. David Early and Dr. David Wheeler speak, one in Pennsylvania and one in Orville, Ohio. And they wrote this book called Prayer, Care, Share. Prayer, care, and share. Can we say that this morning together? Prayer, care, and share. Prayer, care, and share is a new take on an old topic that we call evangelism. Evangelism. First, if we are to resurrect ourselves, we must do the first step, prayer. We have to pray. 1 Timothy 1 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made from all people, for all people. We must pray, just not for yourself or for your problems, but for others in need. God called us as believers to do one thing, to stand in the gap for others. To be that smiling face. To be that person who opens the door, an upwards game, with a smile and says, welcome to Mission Point. Hope you have a great day. Right? Good job, you won the game. Good job, you lost. I mean, we have to be that person who stands in the gap for people. I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I intercede in prayer on the behalf of my family? Ooh, that's a tough one. Do I intercede on the behalf for my family? What does that mean? I'm saying you're thinking outside of you when you intercede. Do you know there are some major people in here who intercede for this church? I'm not going to name all their names. Because when I start naming names, people get like, well, I'm an interceder too. I hope you are. But can I be very honest with you? It's when you get a burden for somebody and you continue and pray for that person. When I came here, I met a woman named Marilyn Carr who intercedes. Thank you, Marilyn. What a true vision of intercession. I don't know a lot like her. One of the first people to ever check me and tell me to, let's pray. It was funny. Checked me twice. I thank you for that, Marilyn. We were talking about a situation. No, let's stop and pray. Okay. And you know what? I listened. Why? It wasn't worth talking about it. But it was worth taking it to the Heavenly Father. And we started interceding on that behalf. And can I tell you, once we started interceding, And she showed me that prayer works, people. Prayer works. Start interceding on behalf of your family, your church, and your community. If we are to ever see things happen in our lives, we must intercede. Think outside of you. And if we're not interceding on behalf of others, I'd ask you to have a vast change in our church culture today, that we take on that burden for other people and that we start caring. Next, part of this thing is called care. Mark 12, 30 through 31 says this, and I love these verses. It says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment. There is no commandment greater than these. Do you care today? I mean, do you really care that your neighbor is dying, going to hell? Now, that's a tough topic. This morning, we need to be caring about our people. We need when you see these little kids line up down here, you all need to get more excited. Don't get mad at me. Get glad. We need to get more excited about them. And if God has given you the ability to teach, and especially if you are a man, we need you. We need you. Jesus has been calling on you. Get a swift kick in the rear this morning, because we need helpers. There are mornings we have had 40, 50, 60 kids. We need help. How can we ever grow without people who lead, without people who intercede, and without people who care? You say, well, I've aged out. No, you haven't. Don't come and tell me you've aged out. Because I'll look at you and I will tell you, my dad is still 71 years old and pastoring. Maybe not the best thing in the whole wide world, but he's still doing it. So if he could do it at 71, you can lead something once a month. We need people. We need grandpas and grandmas in our staff, guys. They need you. Do you know they don't see that at homes? They need you today. Don't age out on Jesus. He ain't aged out on you. If I hear someone say they've aged out anymore, I am going to give you a box of tissues. And I'm going to say, stop whining in front of me. You haven't aged out. God doesn't age out in the kingdom of God. I willed my grandmother into church until the last week, until she died. She didn't age out. Do you know what she told us? This is funny. I tell Dan stories about my grandma once in a while. She laughs. He laughs. It's like crazy. Like she was. She looked at my dad one day. She said, stop spending money on us old people. She said, I've lived my life for Jesus. Start investing in these youth. We haven't aged out, y'all. I'm not being mean today, but we got to show that we care about people. Oh, we got to show that we care about people. We got little kids that come in here, and they all ain't white like we are, and they all ain't look the exact same way, and sometimes there are different things that happen that may come down the road. Love them. You got to remember where you were growing up. You got to remember where Jesus brought you from. Maybe we've came so far, we forgot where our last generation was. Do you care this morning? It's important that we care. And then lastly, are you sharing the good news about Jesus Christ with people? Are you sharing the good news about Jesus Christ with people? Sharing. Sharing is, remember I told you to write down your testimony? You got to share with somebody about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get an opportunity someday, maybe this week, maybe tomorrow, maybe down the road, and someone's going to say, why do you act different for? And you're going to have to say, I started going to this church called Mission Point, and Jesus got a hold of me there. And I started, had some things in my life, and I laid it all down. And now I'm a new believer. Start with your personal testimony of where God has brought you from. All of our testimonies won't look exactly the same. Elaine shared her testimony with me one day. I loved her testimony. She said, I walked to church, I sat in the pastor's office, and then I came out and I walked all the way home a totally different person. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, that's awesome. I'd love to have that on film. Why didn't we have security cameras here then? That would have been great. Those are blessings. That's the good news of Jesus, guys. She came in one way, but she left a completely different person. And oh, the impact that Elaine's had on my children through Iwana. Yeah. She's planted a lot of seeds in my own family. You all have planted seeds in my family. We're trying to plant seeds in your family. Ask yourself today, where's my Samaria at? You need to figure out where it is, and you need to be passionate about it. If it's not Mission Point, you need to figure out where your Samaria is. What has God calling you to do? You know, it's been a while since I've heard anybody called to the mission field. I believe someday that there will be missionaries that come from Mission Point. I just do. I also believe that there will be pastors called from here. I also believe that there will be evangelists called from here, and there will be teachers and whatever, and we'll see wonderful things happen, but someone's got to plant a seed. If you ever want to see that seed grow and that seed come to fruition, someone's got to do some planting. Someone's got to till the soil. Someone's got to water it, and then someone's got to sit and watch it grow. It's the long process. Don't give up overnight. Oh, nothing ain't happening right. No, God's working things out. Give it some time. Work on it. But ask yourself, where is my Samaria? God has called all believers to prayer, care, and share. This is such a simple concept, but it's pretty effective for our generation today. I need you to look out our church doors today. And friends, I'm ashamed of one thing. I don't know all my neighbors that surround this church property. And I'm going to be very honest, neither do you. Don't come up to me after church and say that you know all your church neighbors that surround this property. Because I'll probably boldface look at you and say, you lied. Because you don't. Because I'm going to tell you why. I can't get hardly nobody to go with me and go witness to them. I need somebody. And if someone wants to go witness to me, please volunteer after church. We need a team to reach our community. How are we ever going to reach them if we don't talk to them? I'm so convicted by that I don't know their names. I'm more convicted sometimes I don't know my neighbors in my pew. Don't say you all do either, but you should. I have a little thing I need you to do. By the end of church today, who's ever sitting in your pew, you need to know their name. That means you got to talk to them. Like, oh, me? Talk to them? Oh, got to do that? And yeah, half of you might be family already. But if there is somebody else, or there's a pew behind you, or a pew in front of you, learn their names today. You're going to heaven with them, right? Learn who they are. Let's go a step further on that. Invite somebody over to your house one time. I know some of you all are hospitable, or take them out to dinner. Y'all think you can do that once in a great while? Bond a relationship with somebody. There's nothing wrong with that. We got to actually prayer, care, and then we got to what? Share. How are you ever going to get to know them and share the gospel if you never sit down and talk to them? You actually got to put a little bit of legs on your prayer, and you actually got to do something. It's called evangelistic work. God didn't call us to be like the atheist and not share no news. God called us to go share the what? The good news. So sometimes it takes money, resources, funding, and everything else to go do that, right? It takes all those things. And we have to go out and share the gospel. All right, let's bring this, wrap this into a little bit of a close here. Justin, if you want to get ready. I want to give you my heart this morning. As one of your pastors here at Mission Point, I love you people beyond recognition. Like, you all don't realize that I love you all just like my own family. Why? I see you all sometimes more than I even see my own personal family. Laura's even had to tell me, Matt, you gotta visit Parson's house today. I'm like, I'm sorry. There's just been so much we've had to get taken care of. She's like, yo, I can wait. And you know what? That actually resonated in my life, and I'm going to share that. Y'all, there's so much jobs here to do. It's just not Dan or I that should be soul winning to people. You can have the blessing in that. There's a blessing reaching other people for Jesus Christ and giving you that today. There is a part of our church that we don't utilize properly around here. The altar. This altar up here, this area, I'm amazed that every Sunday it's not lined from side to side. I'm amazed that we don't lay all of our issues and all of our problems down here at this altar every week. It actually kind of boggles my mind sometimes. If we have so much going on internally, why aren't we laying it down at his feet? We need to think of it like this. Down here at this altar, this is where lives get changed. It's where lives get changed. This is where Jesus, we intercede to Jesus on our behalf to the Father, where old becomes new, where we drop off burdens, and we give it to Jesus, and then we leave it there. And then we don't pick up those problems on the way out the door. This is a place down here where moms and dads pray for wayward children. And this is a place where marriages get healed. Are you listening this morning? I'm being real this morning. Are you listening? This is important. This is where lives get changed. Sometimes we take it home. We take home those burdens and then we say, okay, well, they come and talk to us and I'm going to flat out tell you, you didn't leave it. You got to leave it there. Friends, this is a place where we can drop off a whole lot of stuff. I've had points in my life where I've stayed at the altar for 6 months in a row. And people probably wonder, why is he down there every Sunday? And I'm going to tell you, it is none of your business. Amen. Don't you be going around and asking what their problems are. No, they dropped off. And they're picking up a new life. Amen? This morning, if you want to see good things happen here, drop it off at the altar. Don't pick it up on your way out the door. I'd encourage you as a family, get yourself down here. I'd encourage you as a couple, get yourself down to the altar. I'd encourage you with your prayer warriors. Come and pray at the altar. I encourage you, if you're lost, please come down today. That's the greatest thing, is when we can lead you to Jesus Christ. Or if we want to talk privately, that's awesome too. But we need to utilize this area. You want to see a resurrection in yourself, start right here. It starts right here. We used to sing this song, it's minute by minute, day by day, I'm going to live it every day. All right. I'm going to tell you what that means. You've got to live this every second of your life. Salvation is a serious thing. Living as a Christian, I don't take living as a Christian as a joke. I think sometimes people think me and Dan think this is a joke. Or some of us church people that this is a joke. No, I take this very serious. Why do we take this so serious? I take being a pastor or a Christian just as serious as a doctor studies for to be a surgeon. I take this just as serious as my wife was going to be a teacher. I take this as serious as a lawyer is studying to be for the bar exam. Why? Because souls weigh in the balance. That is why this is serious this morning. Do you want to know a Savior? Come here. Do you want to change things in your life? Come here.